Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And let's start with the Astros. Today was supposed to be Judgment Day. They were supposed to come and get down on their hands and knees and thank their maker for the mistakes that they made and the cheating scandal. And they were going to be remorseful and they were going to tell everybody how sorry they were. And we didn't get any of that. We got prepared statements. We got half-truths. We got lukewarm statements from guys. There was all kinds of stuff. Let's before you chime in, Jonas, let's hear from Jim Crane, who is the owner of the Houston Astros, and listen to his own contradiction in 40 seconds. Yeah. He says one thing and something else 40 seconds later.
Yeah. You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Could possibly.
What's the problem?
Hello? Is this on?
That's a problem. I mean, he stood there in the line of fire. I give him a lot of credit. I mean, to stand in oncoming traffic and take on that sort of action here, what he's just trying to get ready for a baseball season.
Oh,
and,
is that what you're
and
doing?
He's trying to get ready for a baseball season the honest way. I mean, I give him a lot of credit.
Look at
bravo
you.
To him.
Unbelievable.
Bro, I mean, I'm ready to stand up right now and give him a standing ovation.
You're the only one, because here we go. The Astros couldn't even get it right. Who's the PR person there? Because whoever the staff is, if they didn't get to work with the owner, unless he didn't listen to him, be contrite. Be apologetic. You know what? If I'm Jim Crane and I'm the owner, you know what I would have done? I would have showed up with the World Series trophy in a shopping bag like a bag lady, and I would have brought it to the press conference. I would have put it on the counter and said, we tried to give it back. The commissioner wouldn't take it back. And you know what? We disgraced that trophy. We disgraced our city. We disgraced our organization. We did it to ourselves, and we're to blame. That trophy, we were proud of it, but we really can't be proud of it because of the way we got it. And I apologize. And I hurt my city and embarrassed my fans, and that my players took part in this, and that I didn't know what was going on in my own clubhouse. Damn it, it's my fault.
You imagine if Jim Crane showed up with a trash bag with a trophy in it, like he was taking it to Goodwill, and there's like an old pair of Dockers with a skid mark in the back.
That would
like,
be it.
Sorry, here's my stuff. Can you take the Dockers while you're at it?
But if he came and did that and said that other than, well, I don't know. If it didn't impact the game, why were you doing it?
I agree.
Why?
And he should have never been put up there to begin with. Clearly, he has no, like, some people are good at certain things.
No, you're right. He's not a good public speaker.
Look, if you ask me to cook you a meal, I'll set the house on fire. But, I mean, I could get you through a sports update. I think so. Like, some people are good at certain things. He's clearly was not prepared and not ready to handle whatever happened. I agree with you. But it would have been great if he gave back the trophy. I've been saying it all along.
Even if it's just a gesture. If he would have came back with it and said, you know what, I don't know if we deserve this.
And I've been saying it all along. Not only get back the trophy, the players should have to get back their rings. And the way I would have it happen is those players care about jewelry. They care about those possessions. I would tell those players, until you get back the ring, you're not playing another game in Major League Baseball.
I don't disagree with that.
That
could have been a punishment. You don't even have that ring to show off. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a big deal.
And Major League Baseball could have handled that. But unfortunately, Major League Baseball kind of butchered this at the start. The Astros made their firings and they made their moves. Here's the part that I have an issue with. What else do people want? Like, well, we weren't happy with the apology. It's not going to change anything.
No, I get that. I just think that if you're going to do it, at least own up. It's just like I've always said about Pete Rose. If Pete Rose day one, Jonas said, you know what? I screwed up. I did this. I didn't mean to hurt baseball. Baseball's my life. This hurts. It pains me what I did. Pete Rose would be in the Hall of Fame right now.
You think so?
I really do. And I'm not saying that would have been in the first time he tried it. But if he was apologetic, he lied for 14 years about it. And that, remember when baseball allowed him to take part in the All-Star game in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
He's a banned player. He's not supposed to take part in any baseball activities. They were softening until he, again, lied about the whole thing and then tried to make money off it with a book after lying for 14 years. All I'm saying is, this is a forgiving country. But you got to come clean, Jonas. You just have to. And they didn't come clean today. There were stains on the sheets.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about your cruise later on. I mean, that's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. But it's like, look, if my fiance came up to me and said, hey, you remember the guy that was cleaning the backyard like 2 days ago? And I said, yeah, well, him and I kind of had a little thing. But don't worry, I apologize. Oh, well, in that case, wedding's still on, babe. Don't worry about it. I don't need your apology. You already broke the rules. You already committed the crime, so to speak. I don't need the apology.
No, they
cheated. They got caught. They should not have the trophy. The title should be vacated. I don't understand what baseball is doing. It should not go to the Dodgers, so Dodger fans stop.
No, we already know that, right. And anyway, what fan would celebrate that? Nobody.
It's like,
nobody.
You know the example? So when the Tour de France started testing all those guys that were on the gas,
right,
and they found out not only was it Lance Armstrong, it was all these other guys, they like retroactively went back to one Tour de France race, and the guy who finished like 19th ended up being the winner. If I was the guy who finished 19th and they called me up and said, hey, congrats, you won the Tour de France, I'd say kiss my ass.
Right.
Like, I want this retroactively. I want the pomp and circumstance. I want all the pageantry to go along with it. I want to be celebrated. I want to be standing up there getting the trophy and the roses and everything else that comes along with it. So the Dodgers aren't going to get it back. But baseball had an opportunity at the time to say, you know what? World Series vacated. Give back your rings or you don't play, and we're taking back your playoff bonuses that were handed out. And if you don't agree with that, you're not playing another game. They had an opportunity.
You would have had a fight with the union giving back
and
money.
And that's the thing.
No, I'm just...
I agree, and that's why they have the best players union in
any
sport. They
do. They're very strong, and they stick together. You only hear one voice coming out. Yep. You don't hear 20 different, right? You only hear Tony Clark would be the only voice you hear, and it would be like, we're in unison. You're not taking their money. You know, they might have given up the rings, but not the money. I know they wouldn't give any money
back. And that's fine. But the rings, at least, would be a symbol of, you know what? We screwed up.
Because the ring is the payoff where you get to show off. Nobody has a trophy at home when people come by your house, you have a ring. When you go to a dinner and you got this big World Series ring on your finger, that's your moment.
You've been around enough athletes. On Radio Row, when guys are walking through and they're a Super Bowl champion, I mean, it's like a Volvo on their hand.
Right.
Like, these things are huge. They love showing these off. It's a big deal. The fact that baseball didn't step in and do more, I think is a real problem. I actually wonder this, and I don't even know if this is possible based on the union and all this, but sometimes you'll see colleges and universities that will, you know, punish themselves. So they'll
do it so that the NCAA will be a little softer on them.
And so they'll say, you know what? Hey, before you guys get to this,
we're going
to
do this.
Don't worry,
right.
I wonder if the Astros and Jim Crane, and I wouldn't ask him to tell me after what I just heard from a speech standpoint, but I wonder if the Astros and Jim Crane said, hey, before you're thinking about anything more serious as far as a punishment, we're going to fire our manager and we're going to get rid of our GM. We good? All right, I guess we're good here. Because it doesn't make sense to me. You had a real opportunity to lay the hammer down, and they just didn't do it.
Did you hear, do we have Tom Rob G for the Verlander? You know, Verlander is like one of the biggest anti-PEDs, cheating.
The baseballs, right? Are different. Oh, yeah, he's a loudmouth, of course.
And when it came to his own teammates, listen to what he said in this case, even though he was around and knew what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult showing up in 2017, and you know, once I spent some time there, understood what was happening. I wish I had said more. You know, looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. I, you know, like I said, I wish I had said more, and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
Like, that's, like, right there.
But this is a guy who stands up on a soapbox and yells at everybody else. Like, you're a cheater.
Of course. It just, like, here's the other part of this, too. When the Astros lost game one of that World Series, I actually bet on the Astros to win the series, right? So I made money.
You made money. Can you turn it back?
Off some cheaters. I ain't giving it back.
Yes.
That's my players union. I'm not giving it back.
You're not giving it back?
Not my problem. I thought we were on the up and up here. I didn't know they were banging trash cans from Ace Hardware in the dugout.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Banging cans and blowing whistles.
But again, back to your cruise later.
Yeah, all that. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right, here we go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Like almost 24 hours ago, I was on Twitter, on social media.
Yes.
And like, I'm not trying to name names of anybody that's associated with this show. Rob Guerra! I'm not trying to out anybody for going over the top with their celebrations of the Los Angeles Lakers. But did you see the Lakers won the NBA Finals last night?
Did you see that?
Unbelievable.
Big win in Denver.
Crazy.
Like, where's the confetti and where's the parade route? Is it going past Sherman Oaks all the way down to downtown
Crazy.
L.A.?
Unbelievable what has happened. So the Lakers go on the road. They beat the Denver Nuggets 120-116 in overtime. Of course. If you can win in overtime at Denver against a good Nuggets team,
and they've only lost a handful of games at home. They're very good at home.
And they've always been good at home. It's like the Broncos early in the season in Denver at altitude. Their record is staggering because teams aren't in the greatest shape that early in the season. So the Broncos usually play really well at home early on. But when you can get a win at Denver in overtime, the final game before the All-Star break, you got to feel good about it.
And
things.
They got a 4-game lead in the West.
5 up in the loss column, which
exactly.
is important.
So they're in a good position, and that was a good way to close out the first half.
Yeah, and so congratulations. And Laker fans are ecstatic because this is the first time in 6 years it looks like they're going to go back to the postseason.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. And so then this, like, you know, anonymous NBA executive came out and said there's no way –
quote,
yeah,
no
quote,
way.
No way. Not a no way, no how.
So you know it wasn't me.
No.
If it was a quote, no way, no how.
Well, and you also know it wasn't you because it didn't end up on a T-shirt.
That's right.
So you also know it wasn't you.
But
then.
You could also go to getrob.com because there are T-shirts.
You absolutely can. You absolutely can. And don't worry, next holiday season, it'll be back by the kitchen again.
That's
here
right.
at Fox Sports
Rob
Radio.
Rob Parker.
But he said, this anonymous NBA executive, quote, no way the Lakers can beat the Clippers in a 7-game series.
And you know all hell broke loose.
Of course.
We talked about it on the show, and people were ripping me on Instagram and on Twitter and all, you know, panties in a bunch. People around here don't want to hear about that. And I think this GM, I'm buying what the GM is saying. And just from this, do the Lakers have 2 of the 3 best players in the NBA right now? Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
No argument.
Yep.
It ain't about...
Ooh, well...
I said two of the best.
I get your point. Okay. Top 5 at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to go there.
Yeah.
It ain't about who has the best team. And my example of that was 2004. I know Rob Guerra hates this, whereas it's probably all bent out of shape. All Laker fans hate when I talk about 2004 because Kobe, Shaq, remember they had already won 3 championships. And then they had Karl Malone and Gary Payton. They were all looking for their first championship. Of course you're going to beat the Pistons. Who did they have? Chauncey Billups.
Ben Wallace. Darko.
Rip Hamilton. Yeah. Tayshaun Prince. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, cakewalk.
Yeah.
What? Star-studded and no star.
Yeah.
It was a 5-game sweep. That's what I call it. Because really, the Pistons should have won all 5 games.
Yes.
Kobe hit that 3, tied it, and they won that 1 game in overtime. But the bottom line is, it's about team. And when this executive and when people who are not just fans of the Lakers look at what the Clippers have put together, the players who are defensive-minded, they have 3 closers. They have a coach who's already won a championship. I would argue Doc Rivers coached his best season last year with no star. Remember, they went to Oakland. They beat the Warriors twice there during the playoffs. They also pushed him to a 6th game. Kevin Durant had to score 50-some-odd points to shake off the Clippers. They went out and added 2 superstars to already a great nucleus. They got dogs, guys who want it, who don't back down. You can't push over those guys.
Montrezl Harrell, Marcus Morris, Pat Beverly.
Right, and then at the trade deadline, this is typical Laker fan. The Lakers were talking about trying to get Marcus Morris, and as soon as they don't get him,
we didn't really need him.
He ain't going to be the difference on what. But the Clippers got him. He fits in. He's a big body. He's tough. He can defend in the post.
3-and-D. He's perfect 3-and-D guy.
Yes, he's shooting 43% from 3-point. What don't you like about him to add to the team already, and they didn't have to disrupt what they have going? And I get it. Stop living in the past. This is not your father's Clippers and when they were terrible and they could never win anything. That's what people said about Toronto. They never won anything. How could you pick Toronto? Guess what? They won last year.
Yeah.
I believe the Clippers are going to win. And when this executive looked at the two teams, looked at the rosters, looked at how this game is played, hard to believe that you're going to beat them 4 times out of 7. I'm talking about the Clippers.
Nobody should be surprised. I wasn't surprised. I was asked this question locally here in LA before the season. Who's going to have more wins in the regular season, Lakers or Clippers? I said the Lakers. They've got more to prove. Now, when you hear that, you take a step back and go, whoa. The Lakers have more to prove than the Clippers? Well, yeah, absolutely, because look at what these teams are now. Maybe not from a fan base or an organizational standpoint and history, but you've got LeBron James coming off his first injury-riddled year, missing the playoffs. You've got Anthony Davis and people doubting him as a person and as a teammate the year before. And you've got Frank Vogel, who was brought in, and everybody just assumes that his assistant coach is going to get the job anyways. So yes, the Lakers had more to prove, and I always felt they were going to this year. The Clippers had Kawhi Leonard, who just came off winning a championship.
And has already won. He's been to three and won two.
And Paul George was coming off offseason surgery. He wasn't even available to start the year. So I am not surprised at all that the Lakers are where they're at and the Clippers are where they're at.
The Clippers are all about the postseason.
And here's the other thing. This would be something if the Lakers ended up with the one seed and the Clippers didn't play in their same building. But home court doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter between these two teams. So all the Clippers need to do is get to the 2 seed, and it's a wash in a 7-game series. And that's what
they're going
to
be in their own beds, eating their home cooking.
100%. Oh, so the floor is going to be a different color. Who cares, man? Look around the Staples Center. There's not one Clipper banner up, but there's a Taylor Swift banner up. The Clippers aren't used to playing in the Lakers arena. So I don't buy any of these advantages that we can usually put towards whoever gets a higher seed in home court. It doesn't make sense to me. Here's the other thing. So if we're going to say, all right, if you got to pick 3 teams that you think could legitimately win a title this year in the NBA, I would go with the Lakers, Clippers, and Milwaukee Bucks.
Right, I agree. Those are the only 3 teams. Yeah.
The Lakers against the Bucks and Clippers this year are 0-3. So if you don't want to talk about one game at a time, how about a 3-game series against the other 2 teams? They're 0-3.
And when you look at the Clippers, what they've been able to do, remember in those 2 games, Lakers were leading big time for the 3 quarters.
Yes.
And when it got down to crunch time, what happened?
And no Paul George in game 1.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they won that game, and I'm just, when you look at the matchups, look at how they play defense, and here's the other thing that hurts the Lakers, and people don't want to hear this. They only have one closer, and that's LeBron. 17 years, 35 years old. Anthony Davis needs to get the ball from somebody. He can't just take the ball, dribble, and do a thing by himself. So, and who's the other guy? Kyle Kuzma, who was supposed to be remember the piece they couldn't give up?
Yeah.
Inconsistent this year. Hasn't adapted well to the new role. Remember, last year when he was shooting, they were in meaningless games because they weren't making the playoffs. It's a big difference putting up shots in those games and now putting up shots in games that matter.
And they're also going for broke in the regular season, and you're going to see it play out. And this is where it's going to be fascinating to watch, because you're really seeing 2 different ideologies and strategies heading into the postseason. You're seeing the Lakers, who are saying, we don't take any time off. We're not about load management, even though LeBron was the guy who introduced it to the NBA. And then the Clippers, who are saying, no, we do believe in load management. And you're going to see come the postseason which method worked, because the one thing about the NBA, and I'll give the NBA credit for this, the best team always wins. because it's not a one-off scenario. Like, it's not a, well, you know, in the NCAA tournament, you have a bad 10-minute stretch and you're out of the tournament and you are the best team coming into it. In the NFL, you see upsets all the time. I don't, like, if Baltimore and Tennessee played 10 times, how many of those games does Tennessee actually win?
Right.
Three or four? I would venture to guess Baltimore wins a majority. In the NBA, the best team wins every single time.
Especially 4 out of 7.
Yes.
Anybody can win one game. I would tell you right now, if it was single game elimination, Michael Jordan wouldn't be 6-for-6 in the NBA.
No.
You could get beat in one game.
Toronto lost to Orlando in the first game of the postseason last
exactly.
year.
Exactly. And think about this. Toronto lost the first two games to Milwaukee, right, before they came back and won that series. So I'm saying one game, anybody can beat you.
Yeah, and so that's why I just – But I know that we've got to, you know, jump for joy and celebrate. I'm just more of a, guys, let's take a step back, cool it, and wait and play this thing out. All right? This isn't a referendum on what the playoffs are going to look like based on what happened.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
John Paul Morosi, one of the best in the business, Fox Sports MLB insider, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. John, thanks so much for popping on the Odd Couple. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox in for Chris Broussard. I gotta ask you, because there's a lot of people complaining about it. Did the Astros help or hurt themselves earlier today with this quote-unquote apology?
To me, it was incomplete, and we did not get specifics, and most importantly, we did not get that most basic of rhetorical links, which is an acknowledgement by the Astros that their cheating in 2017 led to them winning the World Series. That may be a hard thing to say. Those are hard words to get out if you're an Astros fan or certainly an Astros player. But to apologize for what happened without acknowledging the obvious link between what occurred and what you're able to accomplish that year by winning the World Series, to me just basically explains that they don't get it, that they don't understand why this is such an issue for the game and why so many people are still upset about it and why, frankly, so many of their peers around the sport are upset about it. I really think, Rob, in this case, that on some level the games will begin and so this will become less of a story by a percentage a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But because the players involved, many of them are so prominent in the game, it's a story that's hard to escape entirely, and it becomes all the more difficult to close the book on it when the principals involved fail to acknowledge not just that they're sorry, which is nice to hear, but why they're sorry, how they did it, what exactly occurred, and that basic acknowledgement that their championship from 2017 is tainted.
And just let's go to the top. The owner, Jim Crane, gave two mixed messages. At one point, Johnny's saying that the scandal, cheating scandal, didn't impact anything, and wasn't the reason that they won. And then later on, like 50 seconds later, he's saying, "Well, I guess maybe it did impact it." I mean, he gave a mixed message instead of just saying, "This is terrible. We really hurt our fans in the game, and we shouldn't have done it. And I don't blame people for looking at our championship as tainted because we did it to ourselves, and we didn't hear that today, John."
You're right, Rob. And again, this is where the test comes at a moment like this. Was this an apology that was curated and rehearsed potentially and as best you can do it or thought through and really carefully crafted the day before and in the weeks leading up to it? Or was it authentic? Was it sincere and heartfelt? And I do not believe that universally it was sincere and heartfelt. This seemed to me, Rob, to be something that the Astros did today because they had to do it, as opposed to a sense of obligation to the game. And I think what we've been missing in baseball, this is the most egregious example of it, but in general, we have been missing for the last several years a sense of the greater obligation to the game. And it has become, I think, a mode where, for obvious reasons, and I think that there are some element of self-centeredness that is part and parcel to sports and in some ways healthy. But I think that there has been a little bit too much of it here, and this is probably the most extreme and damaging example of them all. And it really, I believe, Rob, is hindering the ability of the sport to move on. And I hope that as time goes on, that more people connected with the Astros will admit that responsibility. We still haven't totally gotten even the most candid answers when the questions have come up about the buzzer potentially being used last year. It really, it's not a satisfying day. It's not a satisfying day because in its totality, the apology was not authentic. And I am quite confident, Rob, that if those same reporters go back there tomorrow and hope to get greater clarity on things, one of the most popular answers is going to be, hey, we talked about it yesterday. I'm not going to talk about it again. And as if it's all now just ancient history. And it's just, that's just too, it's too quick. It's too quick for me to be able to just neat and tidy in one day and say sorry a couple times and be done with it. It as someone who loves the game, as I know you do as well, it doesn't feel like that's right, and I think that's where we're at right now.
No doubt about it. His name is John Morosi. This is the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. John, of course, is a Fox Sports MLB insider. The other thing was that Carlos Beltran, he bullied us. He made us cheat. I'm not saying that he might not have been a mastermind, but for players, grown men making millions of dollars and in control of their own lives, to try to pass off that it was Carlos Beltran who made them and they didn't want to go against him, what did you make of that? I thought that stuff was out there.
It was out there, and it was certainly part of the report in The Athletic this week about one of the contextual elements to the story. And Rob, you and I know we've spent a lot of time in clubhouses over the years, and there is a certain hierarchy, and I'm sure part of that process in 2017 had to deal with the fact that in the case of Carlos Beltran, you had someone who was as respected as Carlos Beltran was at that point in time, and it's difficult for a first-year player to stand up to a veteran who is in really integrally involved in that scheme of stealing signs and saying to everybody that it's wrong. So I understand that it's a difficult thing to do, but that still would have been the right thing to do. And it would have avoided a lot of heartache on the part of the organization that they've been going through here and for the sport in the last several months. This is something, standing up to a teammate who was in the wrong, this is something that should have been done. This is something that, as A.J. Hinch said, he should have had the leadership to create a culture where players were comfortable going to him and saying, listen, this is not right. So I think in recent years in society and different venues, we have come up, I think, with a number of examples where we have seen people presented with information that was really, I think, demanding accountability, and sometimes it was acted on appropriately, and sometimes it wasn't. And in this case, there was not enough proactive steps taken to address this issue, and now all who are linked to this team are the worse off for it. I hope it's a lesson. I hope it's a lesson for all players in the game, no matter if you've got 10 years in the big leagues or 10 days, that you have a degree of agency on the culture of your team. You all have ownership in it. You're all wearing the same uniform. You're all part of it. And I think calls to mind the obligation that you've got to stand up for what's right and what is acceptable, whether it's competition, whether it's the way that a player is treated behind closed doors. These are all issues that the game is dealing with on various levels. And I think, Rob, for me, it should be a call to action for everybody in the sport that cares about the game, that we and certainly part of it from the standpoint of being around it as media members,
right,
we all should be accountable, because this is a sport that matters a lot to our country, represents something pretty special in our country, and if we want to take care of this institution, we've got to represent what's right and really stand up for what's right when maybe it's not the most easy or comfortable thing to do so.
John, last thing. I only got about 45 seconds. Justin Verlander is one of the most outspoken guys against the PED guys and cheaters and steroids and whatnot. And it just seemed like, you know, you would have thought that of all people, Justin Verlander might have stood up and said, what are we doing here? And even he said his apology was kind of, you know, soft-soaked and, you know, maybe I should have done something a little bit more. What'd you make of his take?
Well, I think, Rob, to your point, he has been very outspoken on a number of issues in the game over the last several years, and some in at different times has related to sign stealing or the baseball itself or other issues, PEDs being one of them. I agree. I thought this was a chance for Justin to really show a lot of leadership and be at the forefront of this about the accountability of himself and his team, because, again, he had the standing in the sport. He was a new player in September of 2017 and October. I get that. But he had enough standing in the game where if he knew what was going on, and clearly he apparently did, he would have had the stature to put an end to it. And I think it was a missed opportunity then, and Rob, from what I could tell today of his apology, it was a missed opportunity today where there was not enough, in my opinion, of candor from Justin Verlander on that issue today.
No doubt about it. Hey, John, thanks. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate
you. Sounds great. We will break down the Michigan State football coaching hiring here next time when we visit, okay?
No doubt. Stay well, John. See you down the road.
Good. You as well, Rob. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.